purpose of everything. You are the center of why we exist. We can celebrate that together. So help us, Lord, to see you in everything that has happened. Yeah, we're in a great big church. It seems pretty nice. But you're far greater than that. And if this church would burn down tomorrow, you would still be glorified. You would still be worthy of being praised. So we pray, Lord, today some of us would be able to celebrate and worship you through the words that we say, the stories that we tell. And for those of us who haven't been around for 30 years, may we go back to something even more important, 2,000 years ago, when you came for us. And we can celebrate that as well, even more so. You have greater purpose for us than being happy about a church, but your life that has given us life, your death that has given us eternal life. Be glorified as we share and worship you today. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Please be seated.
Some of you may not know that I didn't get married till a little bit later in life. I was 31, and even after Linda agreed to become my life partner, and I'm so glad she did, I married up. But I remember that I wasn't pining to have children, right? I thought life was pretty good. I was finally married, and somebody took me. I remember talking to my older brother who already had children, and I was asking him, I said, so, like, you know, this whole children thing, I don't quite get it, you know, and he was trying to explain to me all about it. You know, now, after having three lovely daughters and life together, I totally understand the importance of family, right? We still enjoy playing games together and talking and being together, and very lucky in that sense that we're a family that enjoys being together. And I realized, you know, there's just few things more important in life than family. Even in the perfect, sinless environment of the Garden of Eden, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. We're created for community and formed for fellowship in a family. In fact, that was God's great mission in the world, was to create a family of faith. You were created to be a part of God's family. God wanted a family, and he created you to be a part of it. And God didn't need a family because he was so lonely. Okay? That's not a word we should apply to the Creator. There was a perfect relationship and harmony in the Trinity, but God wanted a family to share eternity with. And the Bible is God's story of how God is building a family who will love him, honor him, and eventually reign with him. And Ephesians 1 verse 5 says, his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. You know, the problem, of course, was that sin separated us from our Heavenly Father. So God made a way. He sent his only Son, Jesus, to die for our sins and make it possible for us to be at peace with God. And God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we could become the righteousness of God. Isn't that fantastic? In John 3:16, maybe the best known verse in the Bible, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish, but have eternal life. See, God creates every human being, but not every human being is a child of God. The only way to get into God's family is by being born again into it. You become part of the human family by your first birth, but you become a member of God's family by your second birth. And when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, God becomes our Father and we become his children. And John 1:12 says, to all who received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. And 1 John 3:1, John, same writer, he's just so impressed with this. He says, how great is the love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. It's fantastic. And if you want to become a child of God, I couldn't think of a greater way to mark our 30th anniversary than just today. You say, God, I'm yours. I want to receive the greatest gift that you could ever give me, your name, your presence in my life. I want to be part of your family. I want to be your child. I want to turn from my sin, and I put my faith in Jesus who died for my sin and rose again. Friends, a decision to follow Jesus brings salvation. A decision to commit to your local church brings fellowship. Well, God the Father was on a mission. Jesus was on a mission, right? He was on God's mission. If Revelation 5:9, the saints praise Jesus throughout eternity with the song, "You're worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You've made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they'll reign on the earth." Jesus died so that people from every tribe, language, and nation will become part of God's family. We're no longer foreigners and aliens. We're fellow citizens with God's people. We're members of God's household. In fact, there's five recorded great commissions in the Gospels and Acts where Jesus sends out his disciples on mission to take the gospel to all nations and grow his family. And the Holy Spirit was on the same mission and still is. In the book of Acts, we see the Holy Spirit. We're only 2 weeks away from Pentecost when we remember the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the church. Believers on the day of Pentecost were filled with the Holy Spirit and supernaturally able to speak the gospel in languages they didn't know. And the whole purpose of the miraculous gifts was to call people to repentance and follow Jesus and become part of his family. In Acts 13:2, while the church leaders were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." So after they'd fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The Holy Spirit continued to send out missionary teams for the expansion of the gospel. And we're going to end our service today by praying for a mission team that we're sending to Panama. So we see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all share in the passionate mission of creating a family of faith on the earth. See, your church family is important. I mean, as important as your nuclear family is, right? Your parents, your children, your brothers, your sisters. Your spiritual family is even more important because it will last forever. See, earthly families can be broken apart by divorce, distance, drama, or death. But our spiritual family will last forever throughout eternity. And Jesus isn't ashamed to call every believer a brother or a sister. And that's kind of why sometimes you'll hear in a church say, you know, brother so-and-so, you know, brother Mark and brother Key and whatever, you know. And it's okay to call each other brothers and sisters because that's what we are. Being included in God's family is the highest honor and the greatest privilege you'll ever receive. Nothing even comes close. Whenever you feel unimportant or unloved or insecure, remember whose family you're a part of. God's family. And do you know why baptism is so important? Because it's the official celebration of your inclusion in God's family. Right? 1 Corinthians says, we've all been baptized into Christ's body or family by one Spirit, and we've all received the same Spirit. Baptism announces to the world that your allegiance is to God and his family. Baptism doesn't make you a member of God's family. Only faith in Christ does that. Baptism shows that you're already part of God's family. And the church is still on mission for God. The church is God's agenda for the world. The church is called the bride of Christ and the body of Christ, right? And the scripture says that Christ loved the church and he gave his life for it. I can't imagine saying to Jesus, "I love you, but I can't stand your family." Right? "I accept you, but I reject your body." But that's what we do whenever we talk badly about the church. God commands us to love the local church. Love your spiritual family, the Bible says. Believers were never intended to be Lone Ranger Christians. Some people think, well, they don't need a local church, and they just float around from church to church, kind of wherever they feel like it, who's ever got a good program going on. But you need a family to be part of. Why? Well, a church family can keep you from backsliding. None of us are immune to temptation. When we stop being part of a fellowship of believers, it won't take long to cool off spiritually. And that's why I always encourage our out-of-town students to find a church community to be a part of, an organization on campus, whatever it is. Hebrews 3:13 says, "Encourage one another daily so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." And friends, sin is deceitful. But we got to encourage each other. If you know other people who've wandered off from God's truth, If you look around here at the 30th celebration and you know there's some people who aren't here that should be here, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back. And Scripture says if you do that, it's a great thing that you do. Church family keeps us from backsliding. Christian community gets you out of your self-centered thinking and helps you learn to care for others. See, isolation breeds deceitfulness. Children think that the world revolves around them, right? You know, little children, they think, you know, I mean, they're the only people that matter somehow, right? And some adults think that way too, but maturity is learning to care about the needs and concerns of others. And Scripture says if one part of the body suffers, all the others parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the other parts share its honor. So today there's an honor. It's 30 years. We're going to celebrate. And so everybody gets honored. See, this is a community celebration. Here's the third reason why we need a spiritual family. Because Christian community is a place to help you develop spiritual muscle. See, there's a whole lot of one another's in Scripture. And as we love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, teach one another, submit to one another, learn to accept one another and forgive one another, we grow spiritually. The one another's of Scripture are your family responsibilities that God expects you to fulfill through a local church. And we need more than the Bible in order to grow. We need other believers. And we grow faster and stronger by learning from each other and being accountable to each other. And when others share what God's teaching them, I learn and grow too. And that's why we're going to give an opportunity to share something this morning. Get ready. And together with other believers, we share Christ's mission in the world. That the church is God's instrument on earth. God created each of us to join him in the work that he does. He's given each of you a gift, and some of you have many gifts. And God expects you to use your gifts, your talent, your time, your resources, your spiritual energy for his purposes to build up the local church. He wants you to use what you have for the good of your spiritual family. And Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. The word church in the Greek is ekklesia. And in ancient Greece, the political body of citizens of the city were called out to make decisions for the city. And believers in Jesus Christ are called out of the world to follow Christ. Whose church is it? It's Jesus' church. Okay? Who's going to build the church? Jesus is going to build the church. And how will Jesus build the church? In partnership with every one of you. Jesus gives us the keys of the kingdom. He gives us prayer. And 2 Corinthians 5 says, we're Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Jesus gives us the gifts, the power, and the purpose of building his kingdom. And what's the purpose of the church? It's to storm the gates of hell, friends. Gates are defensive. They're meant to be attacked. We're called to pull down the lies of the enemy in prayer, who blinds the minds of unbelievers to the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ. Our church's motto is a house of prayer for all nations and a church that goes to all nations. See, we understand that as long as there are people who haven't heard about Jesus or still haven't put their faith and trust in Jesus, the mission of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit continues. God wants a family, and he wants his family to grow. And I believe God wants us to build some rooms onto our current house, like a gym and a sanctuary, in order to make room for future growth. See, God's been growing our church for 30 years, and that's awesome. We've grown from a group of 37 adults who pioneered the church plant in a school 30 years ago, to over 400 adults, teens and children, every week that meet at this church. And just last year in our English side, we had 30 children make dedications to Christ at day camp. Another 15 youth and children on the Fort Mac short-term mission trip. And there were 6 baptisms in the English congregation, another 8 in the Mandarin congregation. That's 14. And that's just an average year. That's an average year of baptismal growth. But imagine doing that every year for 30 years. That's what this church has done. I took the time last week to count through our little baptism, you know, because you have to sign a sheet that say, yeah, I want to be baptized. And I counted 426 baptisms in the last 30 years. Hello? Is anybody excited about that? I don't know. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself this morning. That's a great family. That's a lot of lives that have been changed. But don't let the good become the enemy of the best. See, as long as there's lost people in this world, there's a mission that God calls us to be a part of, reaching people and helping them become part of God's family. See, there's hope for the kingdom because we have a king, Jesus. And first of all, we need to embrace our relationship with God and our identity as sons and daughters of God before we engage the world. So Jesus says, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. But he also says, work with all the energy God's Spirit gives you to help others join the family in the next 30 years. So friends, I want to invite you this morning to commit yourselves again, as the first believers did, to the apostles' teaching, to the local fellowship, to prayer, and to the great mission for which Christ died, enlarging the family of faith. So I'm going to just end my message part this morning by inviting us all to stand, and we're going to read this vision prayer. This is the vision prayer of every Christian Missionary Alliance church in Canada, and I'd like to read it again as a way of just dedicating ourselves anew to the task that God has given us. Let's pray. Oh God, with all our hearts, we long for you. Come, transform us to be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused people, multiplying disciples everywhere. Amen? Amen. Then you can be seated. We have a short video that's been put together, and we're going to repeat it tonight, so just pretend you didn't see it if you come. God, good? Yeah. We can get the house lights up, please. Okay, so now we've got I want to move to that next slide, if we could. So we've got two questions. They're really the same question, just worded differently. You can only answer one. What's the fondest memory you have during your years at Southgate Alliance? Or what impact has Southgate Alliance had on your life? Okay, but before we do that, or in the order in which we're going to have some sharing, I first of all want to ask a question. If you were on the founding member list 30 years ago, like the charter member of this church, I'd like you to stand right now. There we go. Mark and Amy, Vincent and Leona. Okay, so that. No, okay, Mark, don't worry about that. All right, so Mark, would you come? You wanted to share something, so I'm gonna thank you. Let's give them a hand. All right, 30 years. So Mark, what's the fondest memory you have of your years, or what impact has Southgate had on your life? There you go.
Well, there are actually many.
And I remind you that you have less than 2 minutes, and our timer is...
Just 1 minute will do.
All right.
Yeah. I think, 30th anniversary is not just for the old timer, but also for the first timer. Because as we journey in this church, we're together. And if I look back, and there's a lot of things that are very emotional. It's a flawed church. And if you go to the hospital, you see a lot of sick people. How come there's so many sick people? But a hospital is not judged by the whole sick people because they need to go there to be healed.
Yeah.
This church is the same. Like Old Testament, like the genealogy of Jesus, they are flawed people. But God liked to use the flawed people. Yeah. But we have worked hard, and by God's grace, we share the gospel, the teaching of the true word, and the healing of the sick with the pastor and the elders and everyone. This church stand up for Christ and is loved as it is the body of Christ. The fond memory I love the church merge. The South Calgary Chinese Alliance Church and EAC.
The church merger.
The church merger.
Okay. Okay. Very good. All right. Thank you. Now, let me ask a different question. If you attended even one time any of the services of this church at Nickel Junior High School, I don't even know how many years it was there, I want you to stand up. So, you know, now we're going to see more people stand up then. Okay. So now, if you're standing up, here's your chance. Come on. If you're going to share something, you get up here. All right. Thank you, Chu. This is Chu Chow.
So I want to share what it's like to come to
you
the
come
first
right,
service
right into the, yeah.
at Nickel Junior High.
The first service?
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't that you showed up like we do here 5 minutes before church.
No.
No.
Amen. Preach it. Now go. You get 3 minutes.
So you had to show up 30 minutes when the janitor opened the door.
Hallelujah.
For us. We had to go to the storage room, pull the sound system. We didn't have the elaborate setup we have here. No overhead screens.
No.
We had the sound system with speakers on stands. We had an electric piano. We had hymn books. And if you were lucky that week, you actually had to do the setup. You had to set up the chairs. You had to be the worship leader, which is different from the worship leader we have now, because we did as a worship leader, you did the corporate prayer. All you didn't do was the leading the piano, and you didn't do the preaching, the message, but you did everything else. Then you'd had to do this takedown, which included packing all the chairs away. And it didn't show it on the slide, but we started on a stage like this at Nickel Junior High. We didn't go move down to the auditorium until later when we had enough people, okay. Because we didn't have enough people at the very beginning. So that was my sharing of worshiping at Junior.
What it was Junior. Like. It was a little better now, is it?
It's a little bit better now.
Little bit. Okay, in some ways. All right, but I like the fact that, you know, you in a church plant, there you got to do so many things. Okay, so here's my next question. If you were a part of Evangel Alliance Church before the merger, I'd like you to stand, please. So there was a church merger that happened in our history. Anybody from, okay, there we go, Brittany. Oh, Jenny, okay. So Barry, Jenny, Esther, Brittany, one of you want to come share. See, I'm going to give you guys the chance to say something. Come on, don't be shy. This is Jenny Wong.
I remember before the merger, Evangel was meeting in Mount Royal.
Yes.
So I fully understand what Chu was saying. Because I still remember, and I was one of them, and our car, our SUV, every morning we have to get up more than 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It was hour and a half. Because some of us has a sound system, some of us has a drum.
You got to bring it.
We have to bring it, and we have to pick up from everybody else's house, and then drive to the parking lot in Mount Royal, and from Mount Royal parking lot, getting into a theater is a lot further than Nickel parking lot.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's beside the point. But what is the fondest memory? My memory of merging is like, wow, everything is set up. And that was very impressive. And the next thing was that is the caring. I always think that the people are warm. Yeah. And I still remember Amy was the first one. Took a few of us, the ladies only, went to Banff, and just to get to know each other.
Yeah.
And that is a very impressive.
Nice.
Because, and I thought that was really great. And small group, and to this day, I still think that, just like Pastor Perry was saying, community love.
That's it. Thank you for sharing. All right. Okay, I got one more question, and then we're just here. Then we're going to move to sort of an open sharing time. If you got saved or baptized at South Calgary Chinese Alliance Church, Evangel Alliance Church, or Southgate Alliance Church, I'd like you to stand right now. If you got saved or baptized in one of those three, you know, forms of it. Hey, that's awesome. That's awesome. So anybody anybody would like to share out of those, out of that group? James, that was going to be you too, right? Yeah. No, come on. You actually said you wanted to come share something. Come on, you bring Caden. This is I baptized you in the lake in Bonavista, man. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Hi. Yeah. How are you doing, Caden?
Say hi. Say hi, Gordy.
Hey.
Hi, yeah. All right.
Thanks, Barry. So the positive impact that SJ has had on my life. I've been a believer for just over 5 years, April 13th. Actually, James, you and I were both baptized the same day back in, I think it was August 2014. Anyway, God just put so many mature believers very, very close to me here at SGA, and I'm so blessed. I think prayer is definitely one of the most powerful tools that God's given us, and I've definitely seen the power of that. I've over the last couple of years, received several words from the Lord from another mature believer, and just through prayer and trusting those words from the Lord, and through all the prayer and support from you, Perry, and everyone here at here in my SGA family, I've literally seen within my family miracles, and I just, that wouldn't be possible without you and my SGA family here. So I'm just forever grateful. So thank you so much.
We love you, bud.
Yeah.
We love you, buddy. All right. So we've got a few more minutes. We don't have unlimited time, right? That's one of the reasons why we need to build a second sanctuary. But anyways, we've got some time, and we've still got a couple of we've got a mission trip interview to do and a mission trip to bless before they go, and then a final song. So I'm thinking we maybe got just like 3-4 minutes left here. You better get up here. This is Caroline.
Good morning. I always want to call our church Southgate Community because it's very much a community.
Amen.
And I just love that. And my fondest memory actually is of the very, very first time we came to Southgate Alliance. And it was in the church at Bannister Road. Mm-hmm. My husband and I had moved here and people were so welcoming. And I remember after the service that Barry and Tom and I think Chu and a few people came up to us right after the service and asked us who we were, invited us to do things, told me that there was cooking classes in the kitchen. Not that Frank looks like he doesn't eat, but and they just were really, really welcoming, and I just thought that was really kind, and that was my fondest memory, and that's why we come back, is because we've made so many wonderful friends here.
Amen. Thank you for sharing, Caroline. Somewhere, you guys have been doing so great. We have this little timer down here, and we haven't needed it. So, Tiffany, this is Tiffany Chung.
Okay, so legend has it, I was actually born here and not at Rocky View Hospital. So, no, I'm just kidding. But, like you were talking about, like, the church family, and I'm so thankful that I was literally born here. I've known this place for all 17 years of my life, basically. Yeah. And growing up in a Christian family, like, church was kind of routine, and I don't know, it just kind of seemed like, I don't know, like, it was just kind of like a thing in my life, and it seemed like it was mandatory to, like, just be Christian. But then, like, as I grew up and I started to interact with more people and the church body, I truly learned what it meant to be a believer, and, like, the seeds that were planted, I believe that God truly work through each and every one of the people that I've interacted with and made this place so, like, mean so much to me, truly grow my relationship with God in ways that, I don't know, I never could have even imagined as a child. So, yeah, like, whether that be through the youth ministry or with, like, the Cantonese congregation and the Mandarin congregation through the mission trips that I've been on, yeah, no, I have no words to describe, like, how eternally grateful I am, and just all the people that have touched my heart, and hopefully we can get to know each other in the future. Yeah. All right.
Thank you so much, Tiffany. This is Josephine.
Yeah, so I don't know what to say about this church because they have been family since I came. I was first comer in Canada. Few months after I arrived in Canada, it was in 2007, I was praying, asking God, where am I going to have a church? Where am I going to have a family church? Because I just had my brother, he was a Catholic believer, and I told him, you know what, I changed my religion, and I am saved, and I need a church similar as I had back home. So one time I was walking around, and I found a posting saying that ESL class. So I said, oh, I need English, actually. So it was beside where I was living at Banista Manor. I went there for a ESL class, and not only I learned to talk English and speak English or to use English in everyday life, but also I found a family, brothers, sisters. Yeah. I am so thankful. May God bless you again.
Thank you, Josephine. Somebody else? Okay. All right, set the timer. Oh, come on. I thought you could take that kind of...
I ramble. I do. I got it. First memory, fondest memory is actually when I was in my angsty teens. Definitely not from a Christian family, so... I was actually, for those of you that remember Georgina Wu, she recognized that there was something missing in my life, and she sort of invited me to come. And this is at the point in my life when I was actually very wanting to blame someone for all the bad things happening in the world. So my anti-Christian phase, I guess you could say. And this was at the Bannister Road location back in the day when it was still called South Calgary, Chinese Lands. And just watching everyone and everyone being friendly, it was very interesting to see how the Christian dynamic was different from what I had always thought it would be, especially as presented to me by other people that were non-believers too. Hmm. That was, I guess you could say, the very first seed of the relational aspect of the faith. And so don't think, guys, that, you know, the friends that you have outside the church, that inviting them doesn't have an impact. I think that after I got baptized, the very first place I needed to go was to find a home, and here I am.
Yeah.
It's been 17 years?
Bless 15, God.
I think, something like that.
Great having you, Stan. Thank you so much. In line with the theme of the message today, God on Mission, I'd like to call Sarah Friesen up to the stage. This is my daughter, if you don't know. Sarah, you got back just less than 2 weeks ago from a mission trip. Where did you go for those who...
I went to Nairobi, Kenya.
Okay, and how long did it take to get there and back?
It was over 30 hours, 3 flights in total, so it was pretty exhausting to get there.
Okay, yeah. And how long were you there in total?
So I was only there for 6 days, but a lot happened in that week.
Yeah, I'm sure you were busy every day, because we actually didn't hear a lot from you on Facebook Messenger as much as we maybe thought, but I'm sure you were just busy.
Yeah, there was ministry from morning until night. We usually didn't get back till 9 or 10 at night. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it worth going all that way?
Why? Absolutely.
Why?
Yes. It was so worth it. Because I really did know that God had called me there, and I saw so many people get saved and healed every single day. It was incredible.
Okay. Do you have any pictures? Maybe we could put up a slide, I think, of some pictures that you had.
So there's more pictures than this, but we just have these four for today. So for the picture at the very top left there, that man on the left, his name is Josh. This was before he came to Christ. He actually had a word of knowledge for that lady on the right there, and he prayed for her to get healed, and she got healed, even before he was a believer. And later he came to Christ, and I'll share another story about him later on, so keep him in mind. The picture on the right there was from a church that we went to, just like a worship time from the church. The picture at the bottom there was one of the people that got baptized. I believe there were three or four people that got baptized during the week. And then the picture on the right, on the bottom right, is just a picture of some of the food that we ate. We ate rice every day. We had a lot of Kenyan tea, which is tea with boiled milk in it. It's actually really good. So those are just some pictures there.
So give us some highlights, like some idea. Did some people come to faith in Christ?
Yes. So out of 3,300 people that attended, so there were 84 who either gave their life for the first time or they came back to Christ. So praise God for that. And there were also a lot of people that were healed.
People were healed?
Yes. So physical healings, there were 132 people that were physically healed on this trip. And there were 475 people who were emotionally delivered. So that
Did you see anyone get healed?
Yes, yes. I had the privilege of praying for Josh, that young man up there. He came up to me and he said, "My left ear is completely deaf. I can't hear out of my left ear." So we prayed several times for his ear, and by the second or third prayer, God healed him completely. He had full hearing in his left ear. Yeah.
That's
awesome.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Praise God. Yeah, and it was very incredible. I also got to witness and be a part of the prayer. There were two blind ladies that received 90% of their vision back. So praise God. Praise God. Yeah.
Okay, let me pause for a second. Did seeing that change maybe the way that you understand God is our healer?
It did. Yeah, I always knew that God healed, and I did believe that he healed, but I think just not in the same tangible way that I can say now. Now, without a shadow of a doubt in my mind, I can say God is healer and he heals today.
Okay. Was there any link between maybe people who got healed and people who got saved?
Yes. So I was able to go and do street ministry with one of my teammates and a couple of Kenyans to translate in Swahili. And we came across a group of 10 men that were there, and we felt like God was leading us to pray for them. At first, they were very reluctant. They were like, "Oh, yeah, no, we don't need healing, like, whatever." Like, they were just hungry, so they just really wanted food. But eventually, one man was brave enough. He said, "My ankle really hurts." So we prayed for his ankle, and after one prayer, it was instantly healed. And the look on his face, you should have seen it. Like, we didn't have a camera there, but we should have captured it. Because he stepped back, he took off his shoe, and he said, "The pain, it's gone. And so he was instantly healed, and the men around him realized, "Oh, wow, like, maybe these guys are for real. Maybe their God really does heal." So then they admitted all these problems that they were having. We were able to
pray
for them.
They actually had some things
to be
prayed for.
Yeah, they actually had things to be prayed for, and we were able to pray for them, and 5 out of 10 were healed right there. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Praise God. And then we invited them to go to the conference in the evening. So there was a conference that we had. And 7 of them showed up, some of them bringing new friends. And out of the 7 people that showed up, 5 of them gave their life to Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
So, Sarah, how did you grow spiritually because of this mission trip?
So I feel like one way that God really grew me was by revealing to me through some other people that I have a prophetic gifting. So I was able to practice using that prophetic gifting by just listening to the Holy Spirit, who highlighted 5 people to give prophetic words to. And when I asked them, does this prophetic word resonate with you? Each person said yes. One lady even wanted to write it down. And one lady just started crying and shaking under the power of the Holy Spirit because she was so touched by what God was saying to her through the word. Yeah. So I felt really encouraged and really blessed that God had chosen me to give them that prophetic word.
That's great. What's the next step for you, how you view your place in God's greater mission field?
So I received a prophetic word from someone else that God may be calling me to go to a school of supernatural ministry. So I would just ask that you would keep me in your prayers for that as I figure out when and where God might be calling me to go to this school for supernatural ministry training.
Okay. Anything else you want to say before we got to get the other mission trip?
So I just want to say thank you so, so very much, Southgate Alliance, for everyone that supported me in prayer, in finance, in however you supported me. I just appreciate it so much. I wouldn't have been able to go without you, honestly. So thank you so much for that. As it says in Romans 10, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. So thank you for letting me be able to be the feet and go where God was leading me to go. I will be sending highlight reports and thank yous out soon when I get certain things together. So thank you for that. Stay tuned for that. And if you do need prayer for healing or anything else, I am on the prayer team and I'm on prayer today. So come find me. I'm wearing red lanyard. Let's pray for healing. Let's do
it. Okay. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for sharing. Okay. If you're on the going to Panama, this week on, yeah, you come, and Mark, I want you to come up, and so we've got Corliss, Charmaine, Dawn, and Kate Tan is not here. She's actually graduating this week in Montreal, and then she's flying from there right to Panama, but we're going to include her in our prayer. I want you guys to come here, all right, and we just want to pray for you. We want to bless you. And how are you guys excited about going?
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay, so you leave which day?
Thursday.
Thursday evening. Okay. Well, you better keep that. Mark, why don't you pray for them? Let's just surround them in prayer. Would you just kind of lean out your hands and just join us as we pray for this team that are going for this mission trip to Panama?
Father God, you send your only son, Jesus, as a missionary to come to this earth.
Yes.
And you also commission us to, as a missionary, to go and evangelize and share your good news. I pray for Charmaine. I pray for Don. I pray for Carlos, that they will be empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And will go with your power, your love, and give them Holy Spirit and this a spiritual gift.
Yes,
in Jesus' name, I pray. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, well, we hope to hear from you guys when you come back, for all the good things God's going to do through you. So I want to invite everyone to... You can sit down at this time. Okay, because we need to close our service. You know, we mostly sing contemporary songs in our English service. Worship team, who's ever going to be leading this part. And the Bible encourages us to sing a new song, but we're going to end our 30th anniversary with a great hymn that's almost 100 years old. And it's been a blessing to me over my years, and I think to many of you in your Christian life as well. It speaks of God's faithfulness through every season of our life, every season of our church. Let's stand and lift up the name of Jesus as we close our service.